many of us know actually the name, the Christian name, of our great-grandfather or our great-grandmother. And what about beyond that? And how much do we know about them? Do you know what they did, where they lived, whether they were rich or poor? Perhaps, who knows, some of us might have a very rich ancestor and somewhere along the line we might be due for a nice inheritance. Probably not, but it's always nice to dream, isn't it? We probably don't know much about our family history, but it would be nice to. And lots of people try and research their family history. And there's lots of websites you could go on to find out who your ancestors were. And you can look up the census details and you can look up details of births and marriages and deaths to find out your family. And there's a very popular program called Who Do You Think You Are on the television, which traces people's family line. And in the last series, we saw one where the Olympic rower Matthew Pinsent was the subject of the program. And they traced his line back. And eventually Matthew Pinsent, the great rower, well, he can trace his line back to one of the Edwards, the king. He was in the royal line. And it goes back to then. And of course, that was a great, great discovery for him. Now, this evening, I wanted to look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. And that talks about being in a family, but not an earthly family, which you might be able to trace back to the royalty, but God's family. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "As many as received him," that means Jesus Christ, "to them he gave the right," or he gave the authority, "to become children of God, to those that believe in his name." And this evening, I want us to consider what it means to be and to become a child of God. So Matthew Pinsent, he could trace his ancestry back to King Edward the something. I can't remember which one it was. But we're talking about something even greater than that. Being a child of God. Being in the family of God. Now I want you to notice one very interesting phrase in this verse. It says in the second line, second part of it, he gave the right, it says, to become children of God. Now that's interesting. Because that means you have to become a child of God. You're not one automatically. Some people have the idea that we're all children of God because God has made us. And there is truth in that. But that phrase used in that context, the child of God, is not what it means here. Because here, doesn't it say? It talks about becoming a child of God. Which means that no one is automatically a child of God. Because if it was, it wouldn't talk about becoming, would it? This evening then, I just want us to think about two things. The first thing is what it means to be a child of God. And secondly, how do you become a child of God? Now, I don't know everybody's hearts tonight. We don't know anybody's hearts, do we? I've known some of you for many years, and I know you are children of God. But many of you I don't know. And I don't know why you've come here tonight, what has brought you to Amien Park Chapel on this first Sunday of the new year. Maybe it's habit, maybe someone asked you, maybe it's something you always do because as a family you come. Whatever the reason, it's good that you're here. But I think probably all of you are interested in what it means to be a child of God. You probably wouldn't be here otherwise. But perhaps you're not even interested in becoming a child of God. You think, what's it got to do with me? I'm not really interested. Well, I hope to show you that it is very important that you know what it means to be a child of God and how to become one. Because I hope to be able to explain to you that to be a child of God, to become a child of God, is the greatest thing that can happen to anybody. You don't have to be young, of course, to become a child of God. You can become a child of God even if you're older, in your 70s or 80s or even 90s. There are no age barriers to becoming a child of God. You don't have to wait till you're 12 or 13 or 16 or 21. Anybody can become a child of God, as we shall see. First of all then, this evening, what it means to be a child of God. And again, I come back to this question, does it matter, you might say? Suppose I'm not a child of God. Is that important? Well, it is important because God's word tells us very seriously what it means if you are not a child of God. I just want to point you to two verses in the New Testament that explain why it's so important to become a child of God. The first one is in the book of Ephesians and chapter 2. And if you've got your Bible with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in the Church Bible. It's on page 1038. And in the beginning verses of Ephesians chapter 2, the writer, Paul, is talking to the Christians and saying what they were like before they were converted. And look at verse 3. It says, among whom, the non-believers he's speaking of, also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, it says, just as the others. Now Paul says, if you're not a child of God, then you're like this. You are a child of wrath. And wrath there is God's reaction to those that continue in sin. He is not pleased if we continue in sin, if we ignore him, if we say to God in effect, I don't want you, you've got nothing to say to me. Harsh, you think? Well, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 8. This is the second verse I want you to look with me in. John chapter 8. On page 948. And Jesus is here speaking to religious people of his own day. And look at verse 42 to verse 44. He says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, in effect, if you were children of God, he says, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You, this is Jesus speaking, not me, Jesus saying this. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now the Jews didn't like this, and of course they wanted to stone him. But this is the words of Jesus. These people who thought they were children of God, Jesus said, you are the children of the devil. That's what he said about them. So if you're not a child of God, this is what the New Testament says your position is. And I wouldn't want to be in those positions. Once I was, but I didn't realize it. But the word of God tells you tonight, this is what it is. So it's important that you become a child of God. But what does it mean to be a child of God? We always have great sympathy and sorrow for those children that don't have parents, don't we? We see pictures of orphans in Africa being orphaned because of the AIDS disease. They've got no father. They've got no mother. Got no parents, and we feel great sorrow for them because they're lacking, aren't they? Or remember when Westerners first went to Romania and found the orphanages in Romania where under the communist regime hundreds of children were put and just kept in awful conditions. And those of you that are older will remember the terrible things that we saw that were revealed by that. And we think, that's terrible. They're without family, without anybody to care for them. Children need parents, don't they? They need a father, they need a mother. That's the way God has made it in this world. How are they going to be provided for? You children here, supposing suddenly tomorrow your mum and dad weren't there, what would you do? How would you do the washing, get your food? How would you get money to live? Who would look after you? You can't bear thinking about it, can you? It's important. What do our parents do for us? Well, our parents provide us with love and security. We have a relationship with them. They provide for everything. They keep us safe, don't they? You've got a home because your parents provided the home. You've got an inheritance. All these things we can see in a human family. And in a much more wonderful way, it is true for those that are the children of God. What do you have? What are your blessings if you are a child of God? First of all, you have God as a father who loves beyond any human loving. We have a God of a father who we may know and become close to and have a relationship with. We have a father to look up to, but a father who is ours. He belongs to us and we belong to him. And just as human fathers and human mothers are committed to their children, God is committed to us if we are his children. A father who is wise beyond all human wisdom. We've got a father who is powerful beyond all human power. A father who is loving beyond all human loving. And as someone who is a child of God has that intimate, personal love and concern of God Almighty. But what else? A child of God has the protection and the care and the provision and the guidance and the help of Almighty God. A child of God has a father who is never too busy. Sometimes we fathers are too busy or claim we're too busy for our children. We have a father who is never lacking in provision, never lacking in power, never lacking in guidance, who is not unable to help. Human fathers, sometimes we lack these things. Often we lack these things. We can't do what we would want to do for our children always. Sometimes we don't know how to advise our children. Sometimes we just are unable to help them. But a child of God has a father who is present and able to be all this to them. Sometimes we cannot provide what our children want or need. We just don't have the finances, perhaps. But nothing is outside of the power and control of God. We have a father, if we're a child of God, whose sovereignty is unlimited. Child of God is one who has a home and an inheritance. You children here, you've got a home. And of course, you love your home. It's yours, isn't it? And it's always going to be there. You know what your mum and dad will say to you, perhaps, when you get older, we're always here. You can always come back, because that's what human parents do. But God has a home for his children, where we will be going to. We are not there yet, but there is a home for God's children. And there is an inheritance. Now, as children, we might think, well, one day there'll be an inheritance for me. That's not a very nice thing to think of often. And a bit mercenary, a bit worldly. But it is true. Parents do provide for their children. And the scripture says, Parents should lay up for their children. But we're talking about God who gives to his children an inheritance that is never going to be taken away, is never going to spoil, is never going to fade, it's never going to be destroyed. And the tax man can't get at it, of course. It's there, reserved in heaven for us. Child of God also bears the likeness of his father. Now, those of us that are sons, as we get older, I think it's probably true that we begin to look more and more like our fathers physically. And perhaps you children, you think, oh no, I don't want to be like my dad. But unfortunately, it usually happens like that. We bear a likeness. But a Christian child, a child of God, should increasingly be like their Heavenly Father. Not physically, of course, but in character and in grace and in love and in kindness and in goodness. And it should be said of all children of God, oh yeah, they're like their father. Just like we say, yeah, she's like her mother, or he's like his father. It should be said of those that are children of God. To be a child of God has immense privileges, doesn't it? Isn't it a good position to be in? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have God Almighty as a father? And you can go to this father and say, Father, you're mine. Help me in this situation. Be with me. Guide me. Provide for me. Comfort me. This is what is yours if you're a child of God. And you have a place that you're going to. You know, when life here finishes, it's not the end, because we're going home. We're going home to the home that God has provided for his children. Is it good to be a child of God? Of course it is. That's why the Apostle John said in his letters, how great the love of the Father is for us, that we should be called children of God. Because who are we? We were children of wrath. We don't deserve any of this. But God says, you can become my child. Is anybody here that thinks, yeah, I'd like to become a child of God? You ought to. Then listen on. Because we're going to tell you, I'm going to explain to you how you become a child of God. But are you a child of God now? Let me encourage you. Perhaps life is hard. Perhaps you're suffering. Perhaps you are hard-pressed. Don't forget, you have a Father in heaven. And he knows exactly what you are going through. And he has a reason for it. You know, sometimes we parents, we have to let our children go through situations that they're going to suffer a bit. And children might think, why are my parents doing this to me? But there's a reason for it. Now, if we, with our limited human wisdom, can do things like that, how much more God the Father does this? If you are hard-pressed tonight, then go to God. Go to your Heavenly Father. Commit your way to him. You can ask him. You can ask him why. Perhaps you won't get the answer, but you can ask. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you grace. Ask him to show you he is your father. Ask him for the comfort that you have. There are always hard times in this life. But we have a father who is for us, who's bound himself to us. Just as humanly we're bound to our children, in a much more, a deeper way, God binds himself to us. And he knows. And he will help you because he is a father in heaven. That's what it means. Something what it means to be a child of God. Secondly tonight then, how do you become a child of God? How can you come into this wonderful, privileged position? What do you have to do? Do you have to do anything? Well, John tells us. And it's interesting that in verse 13, the verse following what it says, he just says, don't make any mistakes about this. You are not born of blood to be a child of God. That means you are not a child of God because of your family, because your parents are. Couldn't be more clear, could it? It says, who were born not of blood, by natural descent. Now, if your children, your parents are Christians, you children here, then you are in such a privileged position. You have been taught the truth of the Word of God. You know about Jesus Christ. You've seen your parents, although no parents are perfect. You've seen, you've got the best parents you can have because they pray for you. They seek to live a good example to you. They care for you. They try to live before you as the Lord Jesus did. You are greatly privileged. You're protected from so much evil that is in the world. But, it says here, you are not automatically a child of God. So you need to listen carefully. And that's true. None of us are automatically children of God. Not because we're born in this country. Not because we go to church. It says in verse 13, it's not the will of the flesh nor the will of man. No one can decide for you. The husband can't decide for his wife. A father can't decide for his children. How is it then? How does it happen? Well, let's go back to verse 12, and it tells us two things there about how we become children of God. First of all, it says we receive him. And then secondly, it says we believe in his name. Sounds simple? And it is simple. But let's look and see what these words actually mean. The phrase, believe in his name. Now that's quite unusual, isn't it? You see, we speak about believing somebody or believing facts or, you know, I believe it, I believe him. But we don't usually say, I believe in his name, do we? That's an unusual phrase. And why is it there? Well, it's there because when we see the name of Jesus Christ as it is here, then it refers to what Jesus is, who he is, and what he has done. It refers to his character and to his actions. And it means that we believe not just that Jesus existed, not just believe in facts, but it's trusting in who he is and what he has done. It's much more than just believing the facts. Let's think about the name of Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? Most of you will know that when the angel appeared to Joseph, he said, before Jesus was born, he said, you're to call this child that your wife is going to have, you're to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Saviour. The Lord saves. And he's going to save from sin. Joseph is also told his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is the one who saves, but he's God with us also. In the text here, or in the passage here, Jesus is called the Word of God, isn't he? He's God revealing himself to us. In the Old Testament, he is prophesied as the Lord our righteousness. It's a name given to him. He is called, in a very famous prophecy, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Later on in John's Gospel, a couple of pages on, John calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. These names of Jesus explain to us who he is and what he's come to do. And to believe in his name means more than just to believe the facts that he lived, he died, even that he rose again. But it's to take to ourselves all that Jesus is and what he has done. And say, yeah, he is my Saviour. He is my righteousness. He is my Lord. He is my Saviour. To believe in his name is a personal action. It's something that we are each called to do. To believe in his name, all that he is and all that he's done. Now I know probably everybody here believes in Jesus. You know, you believe he existed. You believe he lived. You believe he died. You believe he rose again. But believing in his name is trusting ourselves to all that he's done for us. Do you do that? To become a child of God, you have to believe in his name. But then it says also, we must receive him. It's another way of looking at the same thing. But let's think about this phrase, to receive Jesus. What does it mean to receive him? Well, first of all, we receive Jesus when we receive his truth, his teaching. You can't be a child of God, can you, and not believe what Jesus said? I mean, that's a strange position that some people seem to want to be in today. They want to be a child of God, but they don't want to receive what Jesus said. They don't want to receive his truth and his teaching. But if we're going to receive Jesus, we must receive his, what he teaches us, and the truth about God and about ourselves and about life and about death and about eternity. We must receive the Lord Jesus' standards. You know, if we're going to receive Jesus, we've got to receive him as he is, in his holiness, and what he says is right, he's right, and what he says is wrong, he's wrong. How can we receive Jesus and yet turn upside down the things that he says are right and wrong? To receive Jesus, we must receive his standards and his commands and his holiness. And we must, to receive Jesus, we must receive the gift of eternal life that he offers us. Jesus came to give us eternal life as a gift which must be received and must be taken and, if you like, must be unwrapped and opened and taken to ourselves. The wages of sin is death. If we live a life of sin, we will get what we've earned, which is death, that separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Gift. You don't pay for a gift. You don't earn a gift. A gift is given, and Jesus Christ offers you this gift, and you must receive it. And you receive him in his truth and what he's done for you. Now, some of you may still say, well, how do I do that? Well, think of some of the people in the New Testament. How did they do it? Think of Thomas, who saw the Lord Jesus, and he bowed down before him and said, my Lord and my God. Or think of the Ethiopian that Philip preached to on the road, in the chariot when he was going home. The Ethiopian said, well, how can I be saved if you believe with all your heart? Think of the Apostle Paul. When he saw the Lord Jesus, he said, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? You see, they're giving up their own lives and giving them to God. Or the Philippian jailer. You know the story. The earthquake. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you will become a child of God, then we have to receive Christ and we have to believe in his name. Now, let me speak to you tonight. If you're not a child of God, what's stopping you? Why aren't you a child of God? Isn't it good enough for you? You wouldn't say that, would you? Surely not. What's stopping you? Maybe you don't want to change your life. You're quite happy as you are, living for yourself, living a sinful way of life. And perhaps you don't want to change. Well, I would urge you to think of this. What good will it do you if you continue in your own way of life, in your way of sin? What good is it going to do you? It's going to make you harder in your sin. It's going to lead you, I tell you, to misery and unhappiness. because sin ultimately leads to that. There may be some enjoyment to begin with, but the way of the sinner is hard, says the scripture, and it is. Don't let the devil tell you it's good to go your own way. That is folly. Don't let that put you off. Perhaps you're embarrassed of what others might say about you. Perhaps you're afraid of what others will say if they find out that you're a Christian. Well, can I tell you first of all that to be an undecided person is much less popular. People don't like those that sit on the fence. And it's far better that you make up your mind to be a Christian and become a child of God than sort of keep on trying to make up your mind. It's very uncomfortable sitting on a fence and nobody likes it. Nobody likes you. Make up your mind. And those people that you're afraid of, where are they going to be in 5 years' time? You probably won't have any contact with them. Don't let the fear of people put you off. And anyway, what is more important? God being your father or somebody laughing at your expense? Perhaps some of you are put off and say, well, I can see some of these people that claim to be children of God. I don't like the way they behave. They're not very nice, some of them. And, if they behave like that, I want none of it. Perhaps you even think, well, so many Christians are hypocrites. I don't want to be one of them. Do you think like that? Well, the answer to your question is, they're not your concern. Each one of us has to answer for God, for what we're like. And the fact that somebody might be a pretender, might be a hypocrite, what's that got to do with you? Stop. What has that got to do with you becoming a child of God and receiving Jesus Christ? Just because there's a fake £5 notes, there's no reason for you not to accept a real one, is there? You know, that would be silly, wouldn't it? You receive Christ. You believe on him to become a child of God. Perhaps there's somebody here that says, well, I don't understand everything I read in the Bible. And sometimes that Mr. Hemming, I can't understand a word he says. I'm sure that's not true. Sorry, Joe. But you say, I can't understand some things. And I'm not sure about this. I don't know when it says about certain things in the Bible. But again, don't expect to understand everything at the beginning, because if that was true, you wouldn't make progress in any part of life. Do you know that you need to be a child of God? Do you know that Jesus Christ is a saviour? Then believe in him, and he will teach you the rest. Don't even expect to know it all at the beginning, because I tell you this, you won't even know it all at the end. Don't let that put you off. But maybe there's somebody here who says, but you see, it tells me in verse 13 that you're a child of God when you're born of God. So I can't do anything about it. I've just got to wait till I'm born of God. Well, it didn't say you've got to wait. It tells you what you've got to do. It tells you receive Christ. It tells you believe in his name. So don't you concern yourself with the mysteries of God. Just do what he says. Receive Christ. Believe in his name and you will become a child of God. Why delay? You can become a child of God this very night. Tomorrow, you might not even want to. The day might have gone. Don't put it off till next week. We don't have next week. Don't put it off till you finish your exams, till you get a job. Don't put it off till your family's grown up. Because today is all that we've been given by the Lord. None of us know about tomorrow. Come to Jesus now. Receive him. All that he is, all that he's done. Believe in his name. And then you are. You have the right, you have the authority to become a child of God. God Almighty is your Father, home in heaven, God personally committed to you as much more than a father or mother is committed to their child. This is what you can have by receiving Christ. Don't go away ignoring the offer that comes to you this night. Become a child of God and be safe forever. Amen. Let's pray.